This is Weekend Edition from NPR News. I'm Scott Simon. Let's let Irini Spanadu set the scene for her new novel. Before, Lower Manhattan in the 1970s, when the city teetered on the edge of what a Lou Reed song of the time called the Wild Side, bankruptcy, rebellion, licentiousness, and crime.
Soho was dangerous then. Most buildings still housed working factories, many stood empty, and only a few had been turned into living lofts. Late into the night, pockets where new bars had sprung up were boisterous with life, light streaming out onto the street like iridescent mist, and rock music blaring as one walked by. But the surrounding areas, often stretching for blocks, were all but deserted, and the scattering of solitary rows of lighted windows did little to assuage a passerby's fears. Every day came new reports of robberies, muggings, a shooting, or a rape.
That is Irini Spanadu, joining us from New York. Before is the story of 3 months in the life of a beautiful young woman named Beatrice, her husband Ned, a talented painter and a brutal spouse, and her friends and neighbors in Soho, before the co-ops, design shops, coffee bars, and galleries moved in, as they meet and couple, uncouple, chase, snort, shoot up, strive to create, and struggle not to be lonely. Irini Spanadu, who's written the acclaimed novels God's Snake and Fear, joins us. Thanks so much for being with us.
Thank you for asking me to be here.
Why did you want to capture this time and place?
I didn't start out by wanting to write about the 70s. Mm-hmm. I wanted to write about Beatrice, who's 25 years old, and because it was easier for me to get under her skin by remembering what I had been like then, I started thinking of myself during those times, and it made me nostalgic for the time.
I must say, having read and liked the book a lot, I don't think a lot of readers will read it and be nostalgic for the Soho life. Am I wrong?
You know, it's the funniest thing, because bad as it was, there were wonderful things about it. There was a sense of freedom and adventure and belief in a better future.
It seems as if everybody around Beatrice desires her. At one point, she looks at herself in the mirror and she wonders, what's your phrase, why was she born with that face? Why was anyone born with a particular face when it didn't match what one was, what one felt inside?
She doesn't feel real to herself, and I think that is probably true of many beautiful women who were beautiful from the time that they were very young. That creates a distance from oneself, because you know that you have something or you are something for which you're loved and admired, mm-hmm. but it doesn't quite connect to yourself. It doesn't resonate with anything real. And Beatrice is very unhappy. So that dissonance between the image in the mirror and what she's feeling causes her to think those things.
You know, she's actually from Illinois, isn't she?
Yes.
And the most famous of all Illinoisans, until maybe this election year, Abraham Lincoln once said that people grow to match their own face.
Huh. Well, that's wonderful. And that's what she will strive to do. I think you need to be very strong when you're that beautiful, mm-hmm. to withstand that kind of admiration and not be vain.
Some of the other people you write about, the characters around Beatrice, there's her childhood friend, Faye, who she used to be called, I think, a good time girl, except she doesn't seem to have a good time at it.
Right. That was typical of the time as well, because ostensibly people were having a great time. There was the drugs, the dancing, the sex, you know, all of that. But there was an underside to it of great despair that became more and more apparent towards the end of the 60s. There was a kind of protesting too much, I think, toward the end.
You have a colloquy in the book. I think it's Ned, the painter, who is married to Beatrice, who... I guess he and his friends are having the debate, the difference between good art and bad art, and somebody says there is no bad art, there's only art or no art.
Oh, that is Beatrice who says that, yes.
Okay, give me for... Well, let me get you to expand on that debate.
Well, if something is art in her understanding of the word art, if it does something, quite often it's not perfect. But it fulfills its intentions. It's the real thing, as she phrases it. And if something is the real thing, you cannot criticize it. It could be aesthetically displeasing in some way, but if it's truthful, it's art.
When we leave Beatrice, I'm not going to give away a lot of plot points at the end of the book. Let's just say that she's been through a bad siege, and she literally has her hand on turning a page into the next part of her life. Where do you see her when she winds up at 50?
Well, imagine that she'll be doing very well. At least she will be happy, she will be at peace with herself. By the end of the book, she's recognizing that everything she thinks she lost, she didn't really have. Mm-hmm. And what remains in her, the truth that remains in her, is hers forever, and it's something that she can build on.
Irini Spanadu speaking with us from New York. Her new novel is Before. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
And to read an excerpt from the novel, you can go to npr.org/books.